Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sukkot. This is our 8th day, the great day. And I don't have this slide. I don't have these verses in the slide, but I want to read them to you. Because I want you to know what our rabbi was doing on this day, the great day. I want y'all to know what he was doing on this day, because people don't understand. They say, why y'all doing these feast days? Because he did it. He kept them. And if I'm a follower of Christ, a follower of Yeshua, I need to be doing what he's doing. I need to be walking like he's walking, talking like he's talking. John 7. Because if I don't get started, I'm gonna be preaching to myself. Because I know people's full. But hopefully in a little while, well, after that song service, man, we shouldn't be full no more. We should be alive. I know it's a little warm. It's a little sweaty. But look. One thing I learned is that if you sweat real, real good and you get soaked, it cools you off. It really, really does. I'm not lying to you. It cools you off. So I feel good. I don't know if it's because I'm excited while I'm feeling good, but or just sweat. I'll take either one that y'all want to say. Listen, John 7, verse 1. And after this, Yeshua was walking in Galil, for he did not wish to walk in Yehuda. Because the Yehudim were seeking to kill him. Imagine that. And the festival of Yehudim was near. The festival of what? Sukkot. The festival of Sukkot. So his brother said to him, get away from here and go to Yehuda, so that your taught ones also see the works that you are doing. For no one acts in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these works, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Look, even his brothers did not believe in him. And we want to, our little feathers get ruffled sometimes when we think we're alone. Yeshua was alone. Many times. It is possible, verse 7. It is possible for the world to hate you because it hates me. Because I bear witness of it that its works are wicked. The world is still wicked today. Nothing don't change. You go up to this festival. He's commanding them. He's telling them, listen, they want to kill me, but you still go up to this festival. Don't let that stop y'all. It's a commandment. Don't let them wanting to kill me stop you from going to this festival that Yehovah commands you to go to. And having said this to them, he stayed in Galil. But when his brothers had gone up to the festival, then he also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. The Yehudim, therefore, were seeking him at the festival and said, where is he? They was looking for him. They wanted him. And there was much grumbling about him among the crowd. Some were saying he is good, but others were saying no. But he is leading the crowd astray. Think about that. When you're doing Bible things, Bible ways, people say you're leading the crowd astray. Yeshua was keeping the Torah. I didn't know doing his right rulings and his commands leading people astray. I say it's pointing in the right direction. And there was, however, no one spoke boldly of him for the fear of the Yehudim. And about the middle of the feast, somebody say the middle. About the middle. Look, we celebrate Sukkot for 8 days. So he didn't go on day one, but in the middle he showed up. In the middle of the festival, Yeshua went up into the set apart place, and he was doing what? Teaching. He was teaching. Somebody's trying to kill him, but that didn't stop him. He had an appointment. I got to be teaching. And the Yehudim were marveling, saying, how does this man know letters, not having learned? This was a carpenter's son. What he knows about this word that he's teaching, this word that he's proclaiming. Yeshua answered them and said, listen, what powerful. My teaching is not mine. Listen, when we do Torah, when me and Pastor teaching Torah and teaching these feast days, our teaching is not ours. It's not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone desires, this is what we need to get, our desire right. You get your desire right, and you don't care what people say or think about you. All you want to do is care about what he says and think about you and what's pleasing him. If anyone desires to do his desire, he shall know concerning the teaching, whether it is from Elohim or whether I speak from myself. When our desire get right, we don't say, oh, that's old, that's done away with. We take here to his teachings. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You could. I'm going to skip down to verse 35. The Yehudim therefore said to themselves, where is he about to go that we shall not find him? Is he about to go to dispersion among the Jews, the Greeks, and to teach the Greeks? Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. Let's go with verse 31. And many of the crowd believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, shall he do more signs than these which this one did? The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these matters concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to seize him. Did I go way too far? Let's continue right there. It's a little further down. I was not way off. I was right. Therefore, Yeshua said to them, yet a little while I am with you. Then I go to him who sent me. You shall seek me and you shall not find me. And where I am, you are unable to come. The Yehudim therefore said to themselves, where is he about to go that we shall not find him? Is he about to go to dispersion among the Greeks and to teach the Greeks? What is this word which he said? You shall seek me and you shall not find me. And where I am, you are unable to come. And verse 37, this is the verse. And on the last day, somebody say today. Today. And on the last day, the great day of the festival. What festival are we still talking about? Sukkot, the great day. We're in this great day right here. Yeshua stood up and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and let him who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost shall flow rivers of living water. Listen, don't miss our moment tonight, church. Don't miss our moment. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water if we thirst. If we thirst and if our desire is right. And this he said concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him were about to receive, for the set apart Spirit was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet esteemed. I just wanted to read those couple verses because I went over that earlier and it stuck out to me. That in this festival right here, the master himself snuck in. And when things got a little quiet, if any man thirsts, let him come after me. Out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. I don't know about you, but I want rivers of living water flowing out my belly. Rivers. And that's what happens on the eighth day, the great day. So you say, hey, keep Sukkot? Absolutely. Keep the great day? Absolutely. You don't want to miss your opportunity. You don't want to miss your moment. Don't want to miss your moment. Now we get started. We are in our Torah teachings, understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. Oh, disconnect. And there's only one way to understand his likes and his dislikes. You got to keep the Torah. You got to keep the Torah. That's how we understand what he likes and what he doesn't like. And we are 54. And it's Vezot Habaracha. It's Hebrew for, and this is the blessing. And the Torah is Deuteronomy 33 and 34, the last two chapters of Deuteronomy. And then we're starting that in the beginning on Friday, all over again. I can't wait. I can't wait to start the new cycle. The new cycle, the Bereshit, in the beginning. You want to be here Friday and Saturday. And this is the blessing, Deuteronomy 33 and 34. The half Torah, Joshua 1, 1 through 18. The topics in this portion. We had that already. I forgot. We way on 170. We was nowhere near number 3. We've been past number three. So I read that one right here. This is where we left off the other day. The Torah came through Moshe on stone tablets, and then through the flesh in Messiah Yeshua. No more on stone, now on the flesh. And I'm so thankful there's no more on stone, that he took this old stony heart and he put a heart of flesh and he wrote it on the tables of my heart. Listen, when he writes that on the table of your heart, when Yehovah starts inscribing things in you, that's permanent. You can't shake your head once you hear it. You can't get it out of your mind. It's in there. When he puts it in there, it's in there for life. No matter how far you... Now listen, you can run. You can run as far as you want. It don't matter. Because listen, when he wants to go and get you, he goes and get you. If he put it there, he put it there for a reason. Walk it out. Don't be afraid of it. Yield to it. I learned that the hard way. That's why I could tell y'all that. Yield to it. Trust me. The word became flesh. The Torah contains instructions. Listen to these. That's why people sometimes, when you start talking Torah, they got too much instructions over there. Too much guidance and direction. Listen, I want his guidance and direction. I want it every day of my life. I don't want to wake up and I don't want to go to bed without walking with him and letting him do the leading and guide. The Torah contains instructions, guidance, and direction for those who desire. We have to get that desire right. Desire to live righteous, set apart lives in accordance with the will of Elohim, which Yeshua showed us by walking in him. Yeshua showed us by walking in him. We following Yeshua, we're following our rabbi. We're going to walk like he walked. And how he walked? According to the Torah. According to the instructions, the guidance, and directions of the Father. He didn't walk no other way. Because if he did, he wouldn't have been the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice because he walked according to the Torah. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Yeshua did. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Yeshua did. How did Yeshua walk? He walked according to the Torah. He walked according to Torah. While these instructions were written on scrolls by Moshe, they ultimately are written by the Almighty on the hearts of believers. Amen? Amen. Having said all this, it is very clear then that the word instructions has a much different connotation to the word law. Yeah. The word instructions has a much different connotation to the word law. Moshe tells us that the Torah is our inheritance. The Torah is our inheritance. Thank you. A little warm. That's that law of fire. Y'all remember that one? That was just a couple days ago, the law of fire. That's what the Torah is. Woo. Moshe tells us that the Torah is our inheritance. It's my inheritance. And the Hebrew word that is translated as inheritance is morosha, Strong's H4181. Bear with me with these Hebrew words. We're learning them. Trying to anyway. Might not sound right, but I do my best. Means a possession, inheritance, and a heritage. Now listen, when you have an inheritance, you don't want to miss. Pastor made the analogy of when, like, if you knew you have $1 million, somebody tells you I got $1 million for you at the Burris Auditorium on Friday, you have to be there. Inheritance, you have an inheritance. Listen, you're not going to go up Friday, go along, Friday past Saturday, Sunday, and you're like, oh, somebody come and say, hey, where you was at? You missed your inheritance on Friday. Nobody text me. Nobody called me. Listen, if somebody got $1 million for you in your inheritance, you sleeping by the oratorium Thursday. Let's not kid ourselves. Nobody ain't gonna have to call. We setting up a sukkah by the auditorium, a tent. We sleeping over there. Listen, when it's Torah time, nobody don't have to call. You know when it's Shabbat. You know when feast days are coming up. Listen, it's our inheritance. Huh? It's a possession. It's something we want when our desire is right. And here, this implies something that is to be seized and occupied. And it's not something that we sit around and wait for our fathers to die in order to receive it. Because lo and behold, that's what the flesh does when pops tell you got inheritance. I hope we don't say, Mom, I hope Pops heard me close his eyes. I need that inheritance. I hope we're not sitting around saying that. Lord, help us if we are. But listen, we don't sit around and wait for it. It's here. The living Torah himself gave us that inheritance. We just got to occupy it. We got to claim it. We got to receive it. Our ability to seize and occupy the inheritance that we have in Messiah is by a fervent, obedient love for Yehovah. Fervent, obedience, love for Yehovah. And Yeshua was so obedient that it caused him his life. It caused him his life. I thought about that because I was in a situation a couple days ago about, am I going to stay obedient to his word? Or will I waver? Will I give in? Listen, I thought this came to my mind just as plain as day. If I got to give up material things to be obedient, then so be it. Because it cost Yeshua his life. It's not costing me my life to be obedient. It's not costing me nowhere near my life. It's costing me things that come and go, things that perish, things that has no value. This, his laws, his Torah, has so much value to me. So much value to me. And I'm not trading it for nothing or no one. No job, nothing. This valuable, this Torah is valuable to me. His laws, his instruction, his direction is valuable. And I'm not giving it up. Because it didn't nowhere cost me my life, but it cost someone's life. Someone's life. As we love him, we are with all we are, and have loved our neighbors as ourselves. Not only do we gotta love him with all we are, we gotta love our neighbors. And sometimes that's tough. But you have to do it. You have to do it. Love that neighbor. No matter what that neighbor says, thinks, acts towards you, you love them. Because you're never going to know that one day that you showing that you extending that love that that neighbor who don't know Father comes to you and asks you to lead him in that direction. You never know. Love the neighbor. Then we truly can begin to walk in inheritance of the pure instructions of Elohim. That protects us and leads us on the path of righteousness. Protects and leads us on the path of righteousness. Pure instructions. What is also interesting to take note of here is that the inheritance of the Torah is given to the assembly, and therefore clearly speaks of our need to be a people who assemble together on the Sabbaths and appointed feasts of Elohim. Who is given to? The assembly is given to us to do what? To gather together on his Sabbaths and his appointed feasts of Elohim. If we are not assembling, then we do not possess the inheritance of the Torah as we should. If we are not assembling on his set apart gathering, they set apart for a reason. If we're not gathering on those set apart gatherings, then we are not inheritance of the Torah as we should. We're not possessing it. The Sabbaths and the feasts of Yehovah cannot be done alone or in isolation. Why? Why I can't do it by myself? They are called set apart gatherings. That's why we can't do it by ourselves. It's a set apart gathering. It's a call to gather together, to come in one spot. Because listen, again, you don't want to miss your moment. You don't. And I'm not saying that you can't have your moment by yourself at your house. But when he calls for the assembly to gather, you gather. The difference is different. It's just different. And when we obey in assembly and learn to hear, guard, and do the words of Yehovah, then we can begin to truly take possession of the Torah that identifies us and marks us as the royal priesthood, chosen nation, and set apart people for a possession of Elohim. The Hebrew word that is translated as assembly is Kehillah, Strong's H6952, which means assembly, congregation, which comes from the root word Kahal, Strong's H6951, meaning assembly, congregation, and convocation, and can mean the gathering of the set-apart ones for Sabbaths, new moons, and feasts, as well as a convening for a meeting of the people, and can certainly give reference to a gathering of all for right rulings and judgment. Didn't Yeshua do all these? When it was time to gather for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the feasts, wasn't he there? Read it. He didn't miss a one. He kept all of them. Every last one of them he kept. Especially this one that we're celebrating tonight. This one is a wonderful. The name Yaakov, Strong's H3290, means grabs the heel. And this comes from the word Akeb, Strong's H6119, which means heel, footprint, and hind part. The heel is the last part of the body to come out of the womb, and so this word also speaks of the hind or latter part. And when Yaakov, Jacob, catching the heel of Esau, we saw how even at birth he saw the blessing. He sought the blessing of the firstborn. And as we look at his life, we can also learn a great deal regarding the blessings of Yehovah that followed hard after his heel. The blessings of Yehovah followed hard after the heels of Yaakov, after the heels of Jacob, when he walked in obedience to the instructions of Elohim. You want the blessings? Everybody wants the blessings. We want the blessings. It's just, we just love when the Lord is blessing me. I'm so blessed. So blessed. We say it all the time. I'm blessed. Highly favored. Walk in obedience to the instructions of Elohim. Abundantly blessings when you walk according to his instructions. From birth, we can see how Yaakov strove for what he wanted and he sought after. Sometimes we got to strive for what we want. Nothing come easy. You hit a little bump in the road. Some of us hit hills, mountains. We got to overcome that. Listen, if the Torah is our inheritance, you got to fight for it. You got to seek after it with everything that is in you. Strive for it. We strive for a lot of things in life. We strive for a lot of things that we want. Sometimes it's not what he wants for us, but we're still striving for it because for some reason we think that we just got to have it. Let's strive for this Torah. You strive for this Torah and you will lack for nothing. He abundantly blesses his people. Abundantly. If you walk in obedience. Hosea 12:3-5. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he strove with Elohim. He strove with the messenger and overcame. He wept and sought his favor. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. Even Yehovah, Elohim of hosts, Yehovah is his remembrance. Here Jacob was owning up to the fact that he was the heel grabber. As he acknowledged who he was in the face of intense wrestling with the word. This is good. Because that's what the word will do to you. That's what the Torah does to you. You can wrestle with it. It'll wrestle with you. It'll let you know when something's going wrong in your life that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And listen, you will lay in bed and it'll wrestle with you. You will lose sleep, I promise. Try it. you will lose sleep. And this is what true wrestling with the word will do to us. Anybody got taking notes? You want to write this. It will humble you and cause you and cause us to truthfully acknowledge who we are. That's what the Torah does. That's what wrestling with the word does. It will truly acknowledge who you truly are, who you really are. By this confession of his true identity and character that was being stripped and shaped by the word. That's what I want. Whatever the word has to do in my life to mold me, to strip some things that don't need to be there and put more of his word there and shape me to it, Yaakov could now receive his new identity in Elohim. A new name to the one who had overcome. Revelations 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him who overcomes, I shall give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I shall give him a white stone. And on a stone, a renewed name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Yaakov received a renewed name as a result of having overcome the striving with Elohim and man. He received a new identity. He received a new name. Listen, and he can do that for each and every one of us. He gives you a new identity. When people say, when you walk in contrary to the word and you're doing your own thing, and people say, man, that boy is hopeless. That boy is gone, too far gone. But they don't know. They don't know the believers that's praying for you on your behalf. Anybody have believers pray for them on their behalf? I did. Oh, I did. But guess what? When I received that new identity, that boy, remember the word prophesied over me and my family. That boy is something different. When people write you off, the Father never writes you off. He sees the good in you when you don't see the good in yourself. He sees the best in you, not the good. He sees the best. The world sees the worst. You can do a million good things. You do one bad thing and you're scarred for life. You're scarred for life. But Yehovah, he comes in and he takes that one mistake. We had many. I'm just using one. Giving us the benefit of the doubt. The many mistakes. And he throws it all away. Casts it. He don't even remember them. And then what's the good part? He heals my conscience. To where I don't have to dwell in that nonsense. He heals my conscience. So you receive it. You receive that new identity when he steps into your life. Verse 5. Oh, we cruising, huh? Yeah, right. We've been on chapter 33 for our, what, third or fourth service? And we're only on verse 5. Verse 5. The sovereign in Yeshurun. The poetic term Yeshurun, which means upright one, is used as a symbolic term in Scripture when speaking of all 12 tribes, all of Israel, that are serving together in unity. Serving together in unity. Now, are all 12 tribes serving together in unity right now? No, we're not serving, but one Sukkot, one eight-day celebration. One great day, we all going to be in unity, serving him in unity. I can't wait for that day because I'm part of that 12 tribe. Deuteronomy 33:5, and he was sovereign in Yeshurun when the heads of the peoples were gathered, the tribes of Yisrael. The name or term of Yeshurun, Strong's 834:84, comes from the word Yashar, Strong's 834:74, which means straight, right, pleasing, be level, upright, just, and lawful. The book of Yasher, commonly known to us as Jasher, means the book of the upright or straight or the book of righteous. This is what Yehovah has chosen Yisrael for, to be straight and upright and walk in his Torah. Torah. What he chose Yisrael for, say, hey, Israel, that's me. Say, that's us. He chose us to be straight. He chose us to be upright and to walk in his Torah. We are chosen people to do these things, to keep them. Shining the light of his Betsora, his good news, amidst a crooked world. We got a job to do. It's not, you know, I'm saved, now I'm safe. No, we got a job to do. We got a responsibility to share the good news amidst a crooked world. His promises are sure and secure for his called upright ones. His promises are sure and secure for his called upright ones. He is sovereign of the upright ones, and he is coming as the righteous king to gather the tribes of Yisrael. And the term Yeshurun is used as a symbolic term of all 12 tribes of Yisrael serving together in unity. The Hebrew word Yeshar, Strong's H3474, is pictured as follows in the ancient pictographic script. The Yod. The ancient script has this letter as Yod, which is an arm and hand, and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw. From the primary functions of the arm and hand, and it also represents worship or giving thanks in the extending of hands as a gesture of this. The works of one hands is the basic meaning of this letter. The Shin. This is the letter Shin, which in the ancient script is pictured, which is two front teeth, and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do. And also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. And we got to be careful because this little thing right here is very powerful and it does just what it says. It can either be sharp, uplifting, or it can consume and destroy people. That's why we got to watch. We don't have to say everything we think. Sometimes we got to swallow that and leave it. Don't let it come out. Don't let it surface because it can destroy that very person's life. That little mouth is powerful. The Resh. The ancient script has this letter Resh as, and is pictured as the head of a man and has the meaning of the head of a man as well as a chief, top, beginning or first. Top as in the top or head of a body, and chief as in the head of a tribe or people, as well as the one who rules the people. When looking at this root word, Yashar, Strong's H3477, in describing our need to be upright and do what is right in the eyes of Yehovah, we are able to see the following being declared. Work the word of the head. Work the word of, that is Sister Linda's motto. She says that we got to work the word all the time. Work the word of the head. And who's our head? Yeshua Messiah. What word did he work? The Torah. He worked the Torah. He worked the scriptures. The same thing we need to be working. The Torah. Yeah. That has all those laws, all those instructions, all those directions. That's what we need to work. Work his Torah. We can only walk upright when we are guarding to do all our head and Savior has commanded us, doing the good works of obedience. The blessings for each tribe. As we go through these blessings for each individual tribe, we are able to glean some very valuable insights and lessons in how we, as the body of Messiah, are to walk in the blessings of our Messiah as we remain in him and guard his commands. Verse 6. We say Reuben. That's how we pronounce, but it doesn't sound like that in Hebrew. And it's like Robain. It's nowhere near Reuben if we listen to it. If you go to the Strong's right here in H7205 and listen to the little voice that tells. We say Reuben, but it's not Reuben. It's Robain, something like, something close like that. Behold a son. And here, Moshe's first words for the tribe of Reuben was, let Reuben live and not die. Now, let me tell you about Reuben. Reuben, he slept with his father, So listen, according to the Torah, Reuben deserved death. But what does Moshe, in his blessings right here, Moshe, a type of Messiah, was let Reuben live and not die. And further says, let his men be numbered. This, in fact, was the only blessing that Moshe had for Reuben. This blessing was a call to survival for the children of Reuben. What we need to remember is how Reuben had defiled his father's bed. And uncovering your father's nakedness was a debt sentence. Uncovering your father's nakedness was a debt sentence. Leviticus 20:11. And a man who lies with the wife of his father has uncovered the nakedness of his father, both of them shall certainly be put to death. Their blood is upon them. The blood is upon them. You do something wrong, the blood is upon you. But we want to pass it on to somebody. It was his fault. That person's fault. This is exactly what Reuben had done in Genesis 35:22. And it came to be when Yisrael dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Yisrael heard about it. Now the sons of Yaakov were 12. The words of Yaakov to Reuben before he died were Genesis 49:3-4. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my power, and the beginning of my strength. Think about it. Think about these words that his father is telling him. The excellency of exaltation and the excellency of power. Bawling like water, you do not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Reuben died. That was his last words that his father told him. But then we read and we get to Moshe, and Moshe says, let Reuben live. He was talking about his clan after him, his kids, his grandkids. Let them live. Why? Because he wanted them to receive the blessing. By this blessing here being given by Moshe, we see how Moshe, in a sense, took back the curse in a hope that the sons of Reuben would repent and be increased. Possibly because the Torah had not yet been given at the stage. He defiled his father's bed so that he would not lose the inheritance promised to his fathers. This is a powerful picture of Messiah who has taken away the curse of the Torah. He took away the curse of the Torah. He did not nail the Torah to the stake. He nailed the curses, the debt penalty that we all deserve, every last one of them. That's what he did for us. By taking the curse, which is death upon himself, in order that we may live and increase. And Messiah, being the firstborn of all creation, restores the firstborn status. How does he restore it? In his own blood. He restored the firstborn status in his own blood. Listen, obedience cost him his life. Cost him his blood. Nothing else. No more blood of bull and goats could have took away the sins of the world. Only one blood could, and that was Yeshua. Thank Yehovah for Yeshua, the Messiah, for allowing me to have the increase and to get back in that firstborn status. For those who repent, now notice, there's something you got to do. For those who repent and turn to the Master, there is always hope of being restored. Listen, don't think you went too far. Don't think that, oh, I done messed up so bad I can't come back. That's not what the blood says. For those who repent and turn to the Master, there's always hope of being restored. Always hope. In order to be numbered and increase. The Hebrew word that is translated as numbered is mispar, Strong's H4557, which means number, tally, account, and count it, which comes from safar, Strong's H5608, which means to count, recount, relate, which is the denominative verb of sephar, Strong's H5612, which means a missive, document, writing, book, scroll, and letters, and is used to describe the book of the Torah. In other words, what Moshe was speaking over the sons of Reuben is that their names would not be blotted out from the book of life. Hallelujah. That their names is not blotted out from the book of life, but rather be numbered or counted among the rest of Israel and be a living part of the body of Messiah. I'm glad that our names are numbered and counted. That we are not blotted out of the book of life, but rather we're numbered and counted. Amen? He's good to us. He's so good to us. By the body of Messiah. As we consider this blessing, we are able to recognize, how do you receive the blessing? You got to receive it for yourself. That's how you receive it. As we consider this blessing, we are able to recognize how important it is for us to be numbered in Messiah, and that we are to continually be a counting people who daily count the cost. Every day, you count that cost. You count of where he took you out of and where he put you at, where you at today. You count it every day because it matters. Who daily count the cost of following our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua Messiah. Don't ever forget where he took you from. And he placed you upon a rock. And you count that cost every day. You let him know how thankful you are for him of keeping you, for his hand of protection upon your life. Even when we didn't deserve it, his hand of protection was upon our life. Mine for sure. Didn't deserve it. But he said, hey, hold on. I got you, son. Remember? He extended. We'll never forget this message. Our friends from Indiana didn't see it. But listen, Yehovah did this. You'll never forget it. He extended that right on. He extended his only begotten son, Yeshua Messiah himself. He extended and said, I got you. I know where you've been at. I know what you did. But you just hold on. Hold on. I got you. Count the cost every day. And to be faithful in being a counting people, we need to realize that we cannot do this without the word of Elohim. You got to realize that we cannot do it without his word, without his set apart spirit. We need that in our lives every single day. Every single day we need the word of Elohim. Listen, you feel it. You feel it for whatever strange reason. You feel like you might get so busy from the time you open up your eyes to the time you go to bed, and you haven't picked this up maybe just one time for whatever reason. You feel it. You know there's a void. There's a void when we're not in this word daily, when we're not counting the cost daily. We can't do it without his word. As we are to meditate on his Torah day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Boy, hit that high note for y'all. Arise. Every day, meditate on his Torah day and night, and allow his sefer, or book of the Torah to lead us each and every day. Allow his word to lead us every day, each and every day. Because listen, if we walk in according to his Torah, we are aiming in the right direction. Listen, you walking according to this Torah, it's going to let you know when you kind of drifting a little bit. It'll bump you back. It's like, look, yoke up with this Torah. That's a better way of saying it. You yoke up with it. Let that one be the dominant puller in your life. Yoke up to it. It's going to let you know, hey, you're going too far to the right, son, daughter. Go back to the left. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't let that come out your mouth. It's going to be destroying. It's going to hurt someone's feelings. Swallow it. Push that back down. You push it down and let me take it out. You keep it down and let me take it out. That's what the Torah does, though. That's what it does for you. It leads you. It leads you on the right path. Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. Not some of it. I don't get to pick and choose what I want to take out of it. What's going to fit my life? Listen, when your desire is right, all of it fits your life. All of it. You won't have this, you know, I want to pick this one, I want to pick that one. No, it says, meditate on it day and night so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. You won't act a fool. You will act wisely. You will act wisely when it's day and night you meditating on it. Amen? When you're not meditating on it day and night, it's when we act foolish. We act a fool. Things come out that shouldn't come out. If we do not count, we cannot be cleansed. To count means to reflect on where we are and repent of our sin. To count means to reflect on where we are and repent of our sins. The Hebrew word sephar, Strong's H5608, spelt from right to left, because you know reading from Hebrew, you read from right to left, not from left to right, is with the samech, the pe, and the resh. Now, when we see these symbols as written in the ancient pictographic script, we get a wonderful picture of what true cleansing entails when we count. The ancient form of the writing, of writing the word count, sephar, the samic. The ancient script has this letter pictured as, which is a thorn, and has the meanings of a pierce and sharp, and can also carry the meaning of a shield, as thorn bushes were used by shepherds to build a wall to enclose their flock in the night against the attack of the predators. Another meaning would be to grab hold of, as a thorn is a seed that clings to hair and clothing. Thorn is a seed that clings to hair and clothing. You ever ran through some thicker bushes? Yeah, they cling to you very well. They grab a hold of you. The word of Elohim is sharper than any double-edged sword. And when we find that we do not grab hold of his word and allow his word to be our shield of faith, we may find ourselves being pierced through with sin and compromise. Our praise we have for our master is that in him we are upheld forever. For he is the shield of our help, as he himself took the crown of thorns upon his head. Think about those thorns that was placed on his head. And not only just was it, you know, they didn't place it gently, you know. They shoved that thing on there, then they beat it down with a rod. They pierced his head. It got stuck in his hair, went through his skull, went past the hair, past the hairline. Think about that. Bearing our sin and shame, that we may be found to be shielded in him. It can also give a meaning of turning. For it is the thorn that turns us away from danger, danger to that which is secure. It's the thorn that turns us away from danger to that which is secure. The pay. This is the letter pay, which is as an open mouth and carries the meaning of speak and blow. from the functions of the mouth and can have the meaning of scatter by blowing. It can also mean sword or beard, as in things with edges, as well as a region in depicting a place with edges or boundaries. It also can represent that which has been spoken forth from the words of one mouth as being established. The resh, the ancient script, has this letter pictured as the head of a man and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe and the one who rules, and also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief. Our true life of praise unto Yehovah, our head, begins when we fear him, for he is the beginning of our strength, and true separated praise entails a true fear of the one who is chief over us. When seeing the construct of this word for count in its ancient form, we have a clear picture of how cleansing entails true repentance through being able to correctly count. This ancient grouping of letters can carry various meanings for us. And in terms of being a people who count, we realize that this can only be done when we grab hold of the word of the head. Can only be done when we grab hold of the word of the head. This picture in terms of counting teaches us that our shield and refuge is in our head and master, who teaches us through his word to number our days. And we recognize that when we bring our sins, pictured as the thorn, and confess them, our open mouth, to Yeshua, our Messiah, head of a man, then he is the one who cleanses us. In the message given to the Simile and Sardis, the warning that was given to them was that they were to wake up and strengthen what remained, and they were commanded to watch and repent, with the promise for those who overcome being given the assurance of their name being retained in the book of life. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. What we have to do? We have to overcome. We have to overcome. Verse 7, Yehuda Strong's H30633 means praise. Moshe continues to confirm the blessing given to Yehuda by Yaakov in Genesis and Bereshit, Genesis 49, who confirms the establishment of leadership from the tribe of Yehuda, from which the scepter would not depart. Scepter would not depart? Until Shiloh comes, and to whom is the obedience of all the peoples, that is Yeshua, Messiah. In one aspect, we also recognize how Yehuda had in some way already become estranged from the rest of his brothers, as early as Genesis 38:1. And at that time, it came to be that Yehuda left his brothers and turned aside to a man, a Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And here in this blessing of Moshe, we see the prophetic call for Yehuda to once again be joined to his brothers. As we recognize, a blinding in part has come over Yehuda until the fullness of the nations is grafted in. Read Romans 11. This blessing is a blessing of unity to come. Isaiah 11:12-13. And he shall raise a banner for those nations and gather the outcasts of Israel, and assembled the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. And the envy of Ephraim shall turn aside, and the adversaries of Yehuda be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda, and Yehuda not trouble Ephraim. One day, right here, the two shall become one. This is what he's talking about. He shall raise a banner for the nation and gather the outcasts of Israel and assemble the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. And the envy of Ephraim shall turn aside, and the adversaries of Yehuda be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda, and Yehuda shall not trouble Ephraim. What a day where the two shall become one again. No more division. No more this side, this sect, that sect. Two shall become one. Over many centuries, we have also seen how Elohim has been a help against the enemies of Yehuda the Jews, helping them overcome many oppressors. Verse 8 through 11, the Levi, Strong's H3878, meaning join to your Tunum and your Urim. Your Urim, Strong's H224, means lights, illuminations, and is the plural of Ur. Strong's H217, which actually means a flame, fire, fires, light, or light of fire. The Tumim, Strong's H8550, means perfections and is the plural of Tum, Strong's H8537, and carries the meaning of completeness, prosperity, perfect, and integrity. Perfect integrity. While there is no evidence to clearly tell us what the Urim and Tutum consist of, be it stones or any other substance, what we can see is that the high priest would use these in order to get right ruling, and so speak of seeking the perfect truth from Yehovah that was put in a breastplate. What is very interesting and worthy of noting is that the first letter of the word Urim, Strong's H224, is the letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the first letter of the word Tumim is the letter Tau, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Think about that. First and last. Revelations 1:8. I am the Aleph and the Tau, beginning and end, says Yehovah, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah 44:6, thus says Yehovah, Sovereign of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yehovah of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no Elohim. I am the first and the last. Besides me, there are no other gods. I am the God of gods, the Master. No other Elohim. I am he. I am the one. I'm the first and the last. What are the Urim and the Tumim? They are the things that illuminate and perfect, and it represents the perfect light. It represents the perfect light. I'm going to cut it short in a little while because we got plenty and we ain't going to finish. We know that Yeshua is the light and he was the perfect lamb. And so this represents for us our need to hunger and remember those words? In this 8-day Sukkot that he stood up and said, he was the perfect lamb. And so this represents for us our need to hunger and thirst for righteousness and be perfect before Elohim, for he is perfect. And we are called to be the salt and light, which we can only be when we seek out his right ruling and walk according to that which is to be upon our heart, his Torah. Notice the positioning of the Urim and the Tumim in the breastplate by the heart. They were by the heart. Can we be salt and not light? Do we get to pick and choose which one we want to be? No. He tells us we have to be both salt and light. I don't want to be the light today. So what? Get over it. Be it. He's telling you to be it. Who are we to tell him what we want to do? That's when we get in trouble. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be light. He was mean to me yesterday. He told me something that hurt my feelings. Exodus 28:30. And into the breastplate of right ruling, you shall put the Urim and the Tumim, and they shall be on the heart of Aharon when he goes in before Yehovah. And Aharon shall bear the right ruling of the children of Israel on his heart before Jehovah continually. He bear it on his heart continually. Messiah, our perfect light and perfect high priest, bears the right ruling of Israel continually. And as we live in him, he writes his Torah on our hearts. And so it is in our hearts and mouths that we may do it, as his truth sheds perfect light on all matters. Let me see how far I can go. Y'all okay, huh? Nobody's getting tired yet, huh? Oh, I didn't hear no amen. I guess y'all are. Good, I'm going to hurt y'all feelings tonight. No, I'm just playing. We'll go, let's see. Just a little bit long. This was the office of the priesthood and their responsibility to shed the perfect light on all matters through the teaching of the Torah, teaching the difference between the clean and the unclean, and between the set apart and the profane. That's what the Torah teaches you. The Torah teaches you the clean and the unclean, the profane and the set apart. And what it does when you teach that, you shed perfect light on all matters. Listen, we can solve the world's problems if we could just do this. If we can sit with our leaders and just say, hey, you want to solve problems? Come on, let's see what the word says. At the end of the day, this is what matters. It's the only thing that matters. And it solves all matters. But don't break this out. Oh, Lord. Malachi 2:7. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and they seek the Torah from his mouth. For he is the messenger of Jehovah of hosts. The Hebrew word or, Strong's H2:17, which actually means a flame, fire. Fire is light, or light of fire, is written in the ancient pictographic script as follows. We'll stop after these three pictographic scripts. The olive. This is the letter in the ancient script. It's pictured as the head of an ox and represents strength, meaning muscle, as the ox is the strongest of the livestock animals. This also carries the meaning of yoke, as an ox is placed in a yoke in order to plow or pull a heavy load in the right direction. The right direction. This can also picture for us the red heifer sacrifice that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled. He fulfilled that sacrifice. The vav. This Hebrew letter, which is the ancient script, is pictured as, which is a peg or a tent peg, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of it having a Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook, as well as bind. The resh, the ancient script has this letter as the head of a man, and has the meaning of the head of a man as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. It has the meaning of top, as in the top of a head of a body, and chief, as in the head of a tribe or people, as well as the one who rules the people. Every house has a head of the home, and all in the house submit to the instructions. That's for me. Of the one who is head of the home, listening to and obeying the words the head speaks. Listening to and obeying the words that the head speaks. Yeshua, our head, listening to the words that our head speaks. When we consider this ancient pictographic letters that render the word for light, we can clearly see a powerful lesson in the terms of our master, the light of the world, giving us the rendering, strengthened, secure in the head. Strengthened, secured in the head. We have great confidence and security in being able to be strong and courageous as we walk in the light of our master, who is our head. Is in the light, and in him we have been secured into his covenants of promise, having called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For his word lights our path in the dark and depraved world. Amen. His light, his word lights our path in a dark and depraved world. I'm so thankful. So thankful for his life. And I will continue to walk according to how our master walked. Amen. He's good to us. We're going to stop right there. Pastor got pneumonia. He's got something special too. Good for y'all. Amen. Enjoy. So that's all I have for tonight. Listen. But come back tomorrow, because the 8th day is still tomorrow morning. It carries all the way to tomorrow, from evening into evening. And we're going to celebrate. We are rejoicing in Simchat Torah. Rejoicing in the Torah. Rejoicing in it. Huh? He's so good to us. How you don't want to rejoice in it? Knowing that the price that was paid for us to be able to rejoice in, for us to be able to have those firstborn status all over again. I'm so thankful. Oh, the blood of Yeshua. Sister Connie gonna sing it. Nah, I can't. My voice, I'm a little hoarse tonight. A little scratchy. Amen. Listen, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. And listen, come excited. Come ready to shout tomorrow morning. Let's go out with a bang. Huh? Let's go out with a bang. Like, never before. We bang other days. We went out with booms, big bangs. Atomic. Let's not sell him short. Let's not sell him short. Amen. He's good to us. I love each and every one of y'all. Hey, and before we go to bed, let's not forget. Remember, again, let's remember Brother AJ's friend, his worker, Mr. Dan, and that family. Continue to pray for him until we hear a good result. That's what we expect. Nothing short. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of Yeshua.